an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our good friends at NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today. Visit NILGameChangers.org. It is always great to talk baseball with Scott Lauber, Philadelphia Inquirer. Scott, how are you today? Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for asking. Okay, so trip to Boston, lose 2 out of 3, trip to Baltimore, but they get Trey Turner back. What can the Turner reemergence mean for this lineup?
Oh, I think it's big. I mean, number one, it gives them their number two hitter back in their order, and they haven't had him for 6 weeks. And for a lot of that time, JT Realmuto filled in the number two spot. Then he got hurt, so Nick Castellanos became the number two hitter. He has not had a good year. He did not have a hit over the weekend in Baltimore. So I certainly think having their first choice to bat second, it helps. And number two, I just think, look, they were fortunate for much of the 6 weeks that Turner was out that Edmundo Sosa played very well at shortstop filling in for him. Lately, though, what you've seen, I think, is kind of what you tend to see when a backup player like Sosa plays a lot, plays every day for an extended period of time. He gets exposed a little bit, and I think that's happened a little bit here lately with Sosa. So now he goes back to the bench, and it makes their bench even stronger. So I just think it comes at a good time, to reinsert Turner in the lineup and bring a little bit more, you know, normalcy to the top half of the order, where now they can run out Schwarber, Turner, Harper, and Bohm and have their top four hitters in place. And I think that's really kind of that's going to really benefit the offense going forward.
JT is going to be out about a month when it's all said and done. Dave Dombrowski's never one to panic based on his career along the way. So is it the thought process there that they can get along with what they have until he gets back a catcher?
Yeah, I think they think as long as it's going to be about a month and not much longer than that they can sort of piece it together with Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand and they can get through that period of time. And I wrote last week that this is a little different than losing Bryce Harper for a couple of months or being without Trey Turner for 6 weeks. It's harder to replace Realmuto because of everything he does behind the plate. He is essential to their process and how they game plan. He's a factor on both sides of the ball because he impacts the pitching as much as he impacts the lineup and the offense. So it's difficult to get through it. And I think if it was longer than a month, if it was more toward the end of the season, if this was closer to the playoffs, then they might have to try to do something. But look, if you're going to lose them at any point, it's probably the best scenario you could have. It's June. They have a large lead in the end. In a weird sort of way, he comes back and he's fresher than he ordinarily would be if he were continuing to play 5 or 6 days a week as he does. So, I do think that they're going to watch this thing closely, and if it takes a little longer and they may need a little more help as they get closer to the deadline. But also, you know, if you're the Phillies and you're Dave Dombrowski and JT Realmuto just had surgery last week, you can bet your phone is probably ringing with teams that want to help the quote-unquote help you with your catching situation if you'll cough up a top prospect or so in order to do it. So, you know, the asking price right now would be high if they went out there and sort of said, hey, look, we need a catcher. So they're not going to do that. They're going to kind of go with what they've got and hope that they get Realmuto back in a month or so.
Okay, so Robbie got tossed out of the game against the Orioles, hit by pitch, and there was, you know, plus there were fighter jets going overhead. It was all sorts of fun stuff in this thing. I want to ask you about the umpiring to this point. It's always easy, and it can be an easy complaint point for people. You see this every day. In your opinion, how solid has the umpiring been, both in the field and behind the plate, as a whole? Yeah, lost Scott there. I think we lost Scott for a moment.
Is he there?
Yes, there. Go ahead, Scott. Gotcha. Go ahead, Scott. I was asking about the umpiring to this point.
I lose you there. Your question.
There we go. I'll give you the question again. You've seen all the games. There's been complaints from time to time about this umpire, this call, that call. Robbie got tossed over the weekend. In your opinion, how solid in general has the umpiring been to this point? Okay. Well, we will try to reconnect with him. And that's what we'll do. We'll reconnect with him and get him back on the line here in a moment so we can ask the all-important umpiring question one more time. I thought I asked it in a solid way each of the last two times, but Scott was breaking up there, and he's obviously having trouble hearing me. So we'll get that back and get him on the line in a moment and discuss that. And once we're all set with that, then we'll just continue on talking about Phillies baseball. They've got the Padres tonight at the bank as the Phillies continue with the best record in the National League to this point. Tonight's matchup, Randy Vasquez for the Padres. And
all right, we're going to try this
Sanchez,
again, Steve.
Who's got that really nice 3.07 ERA to go with that 3-3 record. Not bad. He's nearly 3-1 strikeout to walks. Not bad. He's given up more hits than innings pitched, which I think
I believe Scott's
be
back, Steve,
about at this stage. All right. Because the Phillies pitching has been phenomenal. Let's see. You're looking at, let's get to the pitching part of it here. Phillies, Zach Wheeler struggled his last start, 2.84. Nola, 3.48. Suarez, 1.77. Sanchez, 3.07. Okay. I mean, this is the worst of the four top starters. Walker, of course, has had the 9 starts at this point. He's at 5.33. But that's phenomenal. So of the 71 starts they've had to this point, 28, 41, 56. Yeah,
Steve,
56
Scott's
of the
back.
71 starts have been by those four guys. Unreal. They're only hitting 193 against Wheeler, 216 against Nola, 186 against Suarez. Now, it's a rather healthy 273 against Sanchez. But Spencer Turnbull, 2.79. Hoffman, 0.89. Let's say batting on Hoffman. 183 against Hoffman, 191 against Turnbull. So, Scott, did we get Scott back?
We did.
Yes, no, maybe.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I was going to say he was back, but maybe now he's not.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Good. Try again.
There we are. Hello, sir.
I'm here.
You've saved the show.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Okay. So Scott, let's get to this part. I was asking about umpiring. And when I asked about umpiring, Robbie got tossed. Every time you turn around, there's some clickbait headline about an umpire somewhere did something, some call. Social media is just flipping out over whatever. You see it every day. In reality, how solid has it been? Oh, This
well,
is
I don't. I don't think okay. it's any worse than it's been. Maybe we've had some more higher. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello.
Hello. I don't think he can hear me. Yeah.
Okay, so I can hear you, Steve.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
So I don't think the umpiring has been necessarily worse. Maybe it's been there have been some higher profile misses that have been clustered together here. What I do think, though, is that we live in an era where we can get everything right to such a degree of perfection because of technology. And the one thing that baseball does not do is we do not have the automatic balls and strikes yet. So I think when an umpire misses, we can see it in real time in a way that we couldn't otherwise. We can see, like, he got that one wrong. And until they get the, you know, they're working on this in the minor leagues, and I think it's going to come to the big leagues before all is said and done, the robo-umps, the automatic umps. I do think that we're going to have a way to automate balls and strikes in a way that it sort of eliminates the guessing. It eliminates the human error of the whole thing. And for people who want to get it 100% right 100% of the time, I think that they'll be satisfied with that. I kind of grew up at a time when, you know, there was room for human error in sports and in baseball in particular, and I do kind of like the fact that from game to game the strike zone's a little bit different. You know, I think that's part of what makes baseball as great as it is. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of think that umpiring is no different than it's been. It's just it's under greater scrutiny than ever before because of the technology that we have.
I'm in complete agreement with that answer. I feel the same way you do about it, as you know, because that's the era I grew up in as well. Zach Wheeler, 2.84. Aaron Nola, 3.48. Ranger Suarez, 1.77. Sanchez, who starts tonight, 3.07. Oh, by the way, the batting averages against them are 193, 216, 186. Sanchez, the outlier at 273. What's it like for you to watch starting pitching like this on a day-in and day-out basis? And what has that done to reduce the load in the bullpen because these guys eat up innings?
Yeah, I think you just hit on why they have the best record in the National League. You know, they've gone through stretches where they've hit their way to wins. There's no question about that. But, you know, one of the reasons why they're out to the start that they are out to, and one of the reasons why they look like a formidable team come October, is that the starting pitching has been so good. It's been so good, in fact, that there have been times where the bullpen maybe has not been used as often as you'd like. I mean, we normally hear the other way around, like, oh, the bullpen. You know, that team's bullpen is exhausted or whatever, or they're just leaning on all their relievers. There have been times where, because the starters are going six, seven, sometimes even deeper, they haven't been able to get the normal volume of work for some of their relievers that they've wanted. I sort of laugh and I say it's a first world baseball problem to have when you can't get your relievers enough work. But, you know, look, there's going to come a point in the season where maybe they dial back a little bit on the starters, or you know, they figure out a way to because they have avoided injuries and they've been so good at doing that in their rotation really for the last couple of years. There was a point last year where they went to a six-man rotation for a while. I could see that happening again later in the season, maybe in the dog days of August when you get into the heat of the summer. But you know, I think that really their starting pitching and then their depth of pitching just in general is one of the reasons why they've been as good as they've been all year long without really much let up.
Alec Bohm was a third overall pick out of Wichita State, so I saw him in the State College Williamsport games when he first turned pro. You've watched him develop. Where is he better now than when he came up as a kid?
Everywhere. You know, you just said it, right? Number three in the country, number three overall. You're not the number three overall pick if you're not a good player, if you don't do things at the amateur level that make, you know, if you don't have a tool or multiple that, as scouts say, that that would be attractive. So for Bohm, a lot of the time in college, it was the hitting tool. It was the fact that he was among the better college hitters in the country in 2018 when he came out in the draft and all of that. So certainly there's that, but then within that, there's been more consistency. You know, I think you've seen him grow. I think you've seen him mature. I think, you know, there's still power in there that I don't think we've seen yet. But there's just more consistency at bat to at bat. He hits a lot of doubles. He's a gap to gap hitter. When he first came up in 2020, I thought we were looking at a guy who would hit 320, 330 and contend for batting titles every year and hit 40, 50 doubles and, you know, was big enough that maybe the power would come. Maybe it wouldn't, but he would certainly be an above average hitter. I think he's really sort of hit that. Reached that ceiling or hit that ceiling as a hitter. And then defensively, it's been, you know, you talk to Larry Boa, right? Larry Boa went out to Wichita State to scout him when he was in college. And the Phillies asked when he came back, like, what do you think? Do you think Bohm can stick at third? And Boa said, I really don't know. And we really didn't know until, late in the 2022 season? I mean, 2022, you think about the three-error game against the Mets, and I hate this place and all that stuff, but he really sort of turned himself into, I say, a passable or even, you know, maybe even slightly above average defensive third baseman. That's unusual for someone his size. He's 6'5". You don't find many 6'5" third basemen out there, but he's really done it. So I do think that he's kind of become an all-around player and a really good one at that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because when I was, you know, and I still broadcast the state college games. It's fun, that's why. But state college is playing Williamsport, so I saw him play like a dozen games. And you know what really, I liked the bat quickness, the gap-to-gap power, loved all that. I thought he was just too stiff to play third base. It didn't feel like he was bending down to get balls. And now I see him play today, and he seems just more fluid than I remember him being back then.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, and if I could tell you how much work he does before games with Bobby Dickerson, their infield coach, in spring training, I mean, it's nonstop almost. And he does. He's a lot more fluid. I think those long arms and legs kind of work a little bit more in conjunction now than maybe they did earlier. You know, I mentioned his size and the fact that there aren't many third basemen his size. I think it's Troy Gloss and Chris Bryant are the only primary third basemen 6'5" or taller in baseball history, and Bohm is 6'5". So he's certainly in the minority in terms of, like, guys his size. You normally think of, you know, 6'2", 6'3", third baseman are a little bit more compact. Players his size usually play first base because it's, you know, there's less charging, there's less reaction, there's less of some of those things, and he's really learned how to use his body and be athletic and play that position, I think, pretty well. And I don't know if he's ever going to win any gold gloves over there. You know, I think that's a pretty tall order, but he's certainly turned himself into a guy who you no longer look at him and go, yeah, at some point, maybe very soon, he's going to have to move over to first base. You look at him now and you say, you know, he's a pretty good third baseman, and that's where he's going to stay.
Scott, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. Also fighting through a couple of the issues along the way. As always, you are the pro's pro, and I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Sure thing, Steve. Anytime.
Scott Lauber joining us from the Philadelphia Inquirer. All right, we will take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.